Right, there we are. Now, I mentioned before that I would get into this this comfort corrupts thing. This theme that comfort corrupts. We go through life and we get this. We start to enjoy certain amenities. And we grow up with a certain type of a life and we take that life for granted, and then we go on and we stop doing the things that got us where we are, and we stop doing the things that will keep us where we are, because you're either growing or dying. You're either moving or you're going forward or backwards. You know, we're not like parked cars. You can't park the progress in your life. It just doesn't work that way. So we have these things that we get done in life, and we take it for granted, and then we lose it. And so what happens is a lot of these problems solve themselves. Like I say, Democrats are their own worst enemies because their ideas will self-destruct. They've raised a whole generation of brats who are now politicians and don't want to be told what to do by party bosses. And these kids have grown up being taught that they're wonderful. And then Democrat policies went out, and because of minimum wage, they're not able to get a job all of a sudden. Wait a minute. I thought that the minimum wage meant the boss would have to pay people more. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not guaranteed that a company is going to have jobs to give people. They only have jobs as much as they have money for those jobs and customers. When you got to pay people more for the same work, you just made your prices go up, and now business has gone down, and then now jobs are shifting over to other companies who are going to find a way to do stuff more efficiently, which means that they're not going to hire more people. Hiring goes down. Look, you got this many dollars and go out into the job market. There's this much pie. Now you can cut it into 16 pieces, or cut it into 4 pieces or 6. You can cut the pie how you want. But if you make the pieces bigger, fewer people get pie. And Democrats, they don't get that because they take it for granted that everybody's going to get a piece. See, before, everybody got a piece of the pie. So if we make the piece bigger, everybody gets a bigger piece. That's liberal Democrat thinking, because their comfort has corrupted them so that they take certain things for granted, which are not for granted. If you make the pie pieces bigger, there are fewer pieces. And the Democrat type people are going to say, oh, well, you're just trying to come up with some cute little sales pitch thing to try to change my opinion. Well, one, I'm not trying to come up with a cute sales pitch. This is a fact that's proven by the numbers in the economy when the minimum wage goes up. Hong Kong, I was there in Hong Kong when a minimum wage law went into effect several years ago, like 7 years ago or so. And it was not good. And Hong Kong's economy has been hurt because of it. I mean, now they've got, we're gonna do more for welfare for people. Right. For people. Right. No. Welfare doesn't do stuff for people. It does stuff to people, as far as like welfare, paycheck type welfare. One, this isn't some cute little saying I'm coming up with. And two, this is not going to persuade anybody. Liberal Democrats are not persuaded with words. So don't argue with them. That's just mean. I mean, it's like my grandmother, the piano entertainer, always said, you know, Jesse, you should never try to teach a pig how to play piano. Do you know why? I said, well, hooves and no fingers. Well, you don't get much accomplished. And it really annoys the pig. That was my grandmother and her snorty laugh. So, no, that's what my grandmother actually sounded like. And as proof of this, see, here I'm going to go into this. Should I tell you about my grandmother? I'm going to tell you about my grandmother, the entertainer. One day, my grandmother showed up at the house, surprise, surprise, at the doorstep. She had surprise taken an airplane, called one of our relatives and asked her to pick her up in the local town. She'd taken a bus and asked her to drive her up to the house. So she drove her up to the house, surprise, just showed up at the doorstep with her bags. And I got home and I saw her there and I was like, whoa, grandma's here. And I was in college and, you know, I wasn't, look, I've always been childish. People today, if she showed up today, I'd still be happy. Oh, grandma's here. you know, I kind of like a 5-year-old would react, but most people in college would have been like, grandma's here from 2,000 miles away without warning. But me, I was excited. I love grandma. She just showed up at the house. All right. Well, while she was visiting, I went down to the barn where dad works in his shop. And dad thought that he heard my steps and clunking around in the barn with all the clutter. And he thought that was grandma. Hey, Mom, is that you? You know, he said. And I called him by his nickname, Sandy. They thought my dad was going to be a girl. And so they were ready to name her Sandy. And so he came out a boy, but Sandy kind of stuck sort of as a nickname. So I just said his nickname, Sandy, just like grandma would say it. And he kind of quietly came out, and then he looked at me and saw it was me, and he goes, Jesse, don't talk. I thought you were her. I hear that surprise and I get all the dicky divid. So about a year later, I was in the house. The lights were all off because I'm a man and I have night vision. Women think men can't see. Actually, we can see better than women, which is why we don't turn lights on in houses, which a lot of women don't. This is the thing, men and women. You're in a room, you're studying all by yourself, some woman comes in. This goes back to the refrigerators. I've talked about this. Women are like refrigerators. And you know, you open the door, the light comes on. Right? You open the door, you turn on the light. You close the door and leave, you turn the light off. Right? That makes sense if you're a woman. Or a refrigerator. Women are like refrigerators. You know, they hold stuff for a long time. And boy, warm on the outside, but cold on the inside when they get upset. Well, noisy. Sitting there all of a sudden, you know, you're doing nothing. Mind yourself, all of a sudden, you know, and the refrigerator starts running. I have that problem doing the podcast. Telling you, women are like refrigerators. Okay, so where was I? I was in the house, and I'm a man, and men don't like the light. Men like the darkness because their deeds are evil. So we have night vision. So I'm going through the house. All the lights are off, right? Okay. It's night. The lights are off. I had just turned off the light in the bathroom, and I'd opened the door. The whole house is dark, and I just opened the door, and my father had just walked inside, and he heard a door open in a house with no lights on, in his house. So he says, "Hello? Is anybody there?" I didn't even think. From around the corner, I said, "Sandy?" And then 2 or 3 seconds go by. My father goes, "Jesse?" And he killed him. He said his heart literally skipped a beat. Little boom, 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 boom. So that's my grandmother. Where was I? How did I get to my grandmother? Yes. Don't teach pigs how to play piano. I think someone twisted that into don't teach pigs how to sing. But see, my grandmother, being a piano player, knew that it was always about piano playing. Of course, because she was a piano player. So it's really about playing piano. You shouldn't teach a pig to play piano. Okay. All right. Just to be clear on the record there. Arguing with liberal Democrats is not going to change anyone's mind. Ideas and arguments with people who don't know how to think critically are going to change someone into thinking about something that's all theory without results. People get comfortable, and comfort corrupts. And when people are in comfort, but they don't know how to think critically, then arguments and ideas will persuade them because reality has not. They won't see through it. Arguments as a means of persuasion are for people who don't think critically and take variables as constants. They take for granted things that are not granted. They presume that everyone's going to get a piece of pie. So if we make the pieces bigger, everyone's going to get one. Well, I just want to know, once the pieces become bigger than the pie, who's going to make all these pies? And where the apple orchard's going to come from to grow the apples that grown them, and the wheat to make all the flour, and the cows to put all the butter in the pie crust? where are you going to get all the beaches to melt the glass to make the pie pans? You better use glass in your pie pans, I suppose. But I mean, where are we going to get all this stuff from? You see, when you're a liberal Democrat or a communist socialist, you take that stuff for granted. And when you've had that kind of life and you grow up and you go to college, the professor starts making arguments about theory, not based in reality. You don't know reality. And then the ideas will persuade you or your friend or whoever the generic you is. It's not persuasion that changes liberal Democrats into conservatives. If ideas and thinking were going to have a persuasive effect on them, they wouldn't have been liberal Democrats in the first place. They were raised that way, and ideas and logic helped move them there. Or they were raised thinking and saying what their parents think without understanding why, acting like they're thinking without really thinking. And then ideas and arguments came along and changed them into liberal Democrats. It's not arguments that persuades people to independently, on their own thinking, become conservatives. And I don't mean Republicans. That's got to be done. We got to do People's Party. What persuades people to become conservatives is life. Real life experience. A catastrophic life experience is what causes people to become conservative in their politics. I'm Jesse Steele. This has been a great Taiwan special week. Go to jesse.coffee. Send me money on PayPal. Go buy t-shirts. Introducing the Taiwan special t-shirts. I will ship them from Asia and sign them. You'll get all that Chinese writing on your, at least for now anyway. I mean, when I become big and famous, you know, I might not ship them from Taiwan. Maybe I will. I don't know. We'll see. Well, we'll see. I don't know. What do you think? We'll see. Cheerio. See y'all next week.